Órale, raza, bienvenidos, and thank you for joining us here at the Chicana Ghetto Perspective. I am your host, Martha D., a.k.a. La Sad Girl, and my assistant, Alondra, keeping things flowing, keeping things right. Today, we wanted to talk about, well, just in keeping pace with our previous podcast, if you had an opportunity to listen to that, we were talking about the ties that bind, you know, sticking to our family's expectations and, you know, teachings and whatever. So this time, I wanted to talk about something that affects a lot of us families. With us Chicanos, you know, we always have somebody in prison. We have somebody in jail. It could be, you know, a female or male, but all of us either know a family member that's locked up or know that somebody that's going to be locked up or somebody that's already done their stint in prison and come out and ready to go back. You know, we have those revolving doors with our family members. And I wanted to talk about that because that also keeps us bound, you know, kind of stuck. I speak from experience. My son is doing a 14-year bid after being in and out of prison. And I'm actually, I am feeling bound by that. I feel like I can't move out of the state. I can't leave. You know, there's things that I have to do for him that sometimes I really wish I didn't have to, right? But it's my obligation as a parent, and that's not just me feeling that way. There's a lot of parents out there, you know, some elderly parents, some young parents. I mean, you know, we come in all shapes, sizes, and forms, but we are stuck with our kids who are in prison. And, you know, I don't know that our kids know this, that they're keeping us stuck, but we are. And, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, what type of commitment do we owe our kids or our family members? Why do we feel like we're stuck, that we owe them something because they're going to prison? You know, I think about stuff like this, and I see it happen all the time. People getting out of prison and parties are being thrown like they're fucking graduating from, you know, from a high-rated university. I don't even know why we're throwing parties when they get out of prison. When they're about to be sentenced, we're over there fighting like, free Roberto, free Alberto, free whatever. I mean, like, really? We really want them to be free after we know who they really are? I mean, we get so confused, you know, with our loyalties that it at some point we kind of just sound like, what's wrong with these people, right? I haven't personally thrown any parties or celebrated my son being released or going back. I never felt like he needed to be free. As a matter of fact, I felt like he needed to be held accountable for what he did. I don't agree with the amount of time that he was given, but hey, that's for another show. Anyway, you know, his sisters are not in agreeance with being stuck. And it took me a long time to kind of understand where they were coming from. And the truth is, they don't have to be stuck like I'm stuck. You know, his sisters have lives. They all have jobs. They're hardworking citizens. And I know that a lot of families have been kind of split in half regarding that. You know, are people being locked up? And you know, I started to look up a lot of statistics, but I didn't want to bore anybody with all them numbers and stuff because they really don't mean shit to anybody, right, in the grand scheme of things. But just so you know, one in every six Chicano is going to end up in prison at some point in their life. That means that we have this huge opportunity to stop glamorizing this bullshit, because I mean, if you're old school like I am, you know that this type of life, you know, the pintos and all their knowledge and all that stuff, oh, they didn't take years, and for a while there it was kind of glamorized, you know? Like I said, we throw parties when they get out, and it's been glamorized, and our kids grew up looking at that and thinking that it was kind of a rite of passage, you know, to go to prison and get out. But we're not talking about the old school pintos from back in the day, you know, who went in, did their stint, got out, and got their shit together, and life went on, right? Now we have kids who are in and now first they start with the juvenile system, then they move up into the adult jails and then to prison. And we need to really stop glamorizing that. We need to start talking to our kids that they really can go a whole lifetime without ever having any contact with any type of law enforcement. But that takes a lot of self-restraint, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of pride in knowing who they are. That, again, is going to be a subject for another show because la cultura cura, right? So we need to talk about that too. You know, but staying on subject about the prison and our commitment to our kids, I see it on Facebook all the time. You know, I see moms saying, oh my God, I can't wait to visit with my daughter. I can't wait to visit with my son. We're doing video visits. We're doing visits in person. All that shit costs money. Every visit to the prison is minimum $40. Some people don't have that kind of money to just blow, you know? But here we are. We're doing the best we can. We're taking the drive to the prison. We're checking in. We're doing everything that's asked of us. But, you know, the big question is, what were our relatives, our primos, our primas, our tíos, our tías, or whoever ended up in prison, in my case, my son, you know, what were they doing before they got locked up, before they got caught with, you know, whatever stupid shit they were into? Where was their loyalty? Were they being loyal to us, to their families, to their children, to their moms, to their dads? Were they being loyal? Like, we are expected to be loyal to them for the whole time that they're going to be in prison. I don't care if it's a year or two. But, I mean, we really have to question that. And that's, I have to go back to his sister's loyalty, my daughter's. You know, my daughters are not loyal to their brother. And it took me a long time to understand why they weren't doing that, why they weren't caring the way I was caring about my son. And you know what? Legitimately, they have a reason not to be have that type of loyalty. I'm the mom. I guess I'm expected to have that loyalty, right? But the truth is, my son wasn't being the brother that he should have been to his sisters. He was not being the protector. He was not being the older brother. So, you know, when our people go to prison, we have to make that clear to them. You know, not everybody is going to be loyal to you because your loyalty was to the streets. Your loyalty was to the drugs. Your loyalty was elsewhere, you know, to your dealer, to whatever it is that you were doing, that you were getting into. And I'm pretty sure, I am almost 100% sure that everyone that's in prison was warned by a family member that that was what was going to be the end result. But did they listen? No. You know, there's so many things. I'm not saying don't be loyal. I mean, if you're going to be loyal to your vato that's in prison or to your daughter or your son like I am, I mean, do it up, right? If you have the capability, if you have the bandwidth, you know, the emotion to be able to deal with that, do it. But what I'm saying is that when our other family members don't want to be that loyal or as committed as we are, we cannot judge them and we cannot blame them for that because they don't owe anybody shit. And the people that are locked up, you know what? They owed us something. They owed us some loyalty when they were out, but they didn't give it to us, you know? So we really don't owe these people anything. And when I say these people, are, you know, our parientes or relatives or, you know, again, it could be any family member. I watch, you know, family members struggling, taking out loans and getting attorneys and sometimes, you know, refinancing their homes and putting themselves into this deep hole without really analyzing where the person's mentality is at. Because you're going to put all kinds of shit on the line and maybe they don't care. They're going to go in and do their 2-year, their 3-year, their 4-year stint. And you know what? They're going to come back out and maybe do the same thing. Let's let them struggle a little bit. You don't have to listen to my advice. I'm just saying. I haven't really let my son struggle, but his sisters are making him struggle. His daughter is making him struggle. So that might make a difference in the whole outcome. And besides, you know, he's going to be an older guy when he gets out. So that's all going to be a contributing factor. But some of us have young kids that are going into prison. How are we going to stop them if we keep funding them? If we keep making everything that they're doing on the streets okay? On that note, I wanted to have a slight conversation with my son and ask him a few questions about, you know, the glamorous life in the Pinta. So I recorded his answers. I had him call me, and I wanted to ask him a few questions. And here goes.
You have a prepaid call from an inmate at ASPC. You may begin speaking now.
Hey, son. So I wanted to ask you some questions, okay? Give me your best answer. But my first question to you is, when you were growing up in the projects, who was your greatest influencer and were they good people?
The greatest influencer were the people on the corners with the cars and the girls. And they were not good influences.
Have they been to prison?
I'm sure a lot of them are dead now, but yeah, most of them probably went to prison.
And did you feel like that was something that you wanted to do? You wanted to have that glamorous life?
Yep, that is correct. I wanted what they had. I spent my whole life becoming that man.
Did you ever feel like you were headed in the wrong direction? At any point in your life, did you feel like you needed to pump the brakes and maybe try something different?
Yeah, when my daughter was in the middle of somebody trying to rob me for drugs. I felt that it was too much already, but I still couldn't stop doing it.
So you didn't pump the brakes when you had the opportunity?
No, just until I turned myself in.
So to the kids that might be listening, what's the best advice that you have to offer regarding that kind of life and how we glamorize being a pinto or being an OG? What's the best advice you can give to somebody?
To walk away from it, to get an education, and to work hard when you're young, so when you're older you can relax and not have to be working all the time. And you don't have to see the inside of a prison because it's all full of bullshit.
What kind of bullshit?
It's just stupid. In here, people on the streets, the government tells you, don't steal and you can keep your freedom. Don't hurt nobody, you can keep your freedom. Don't sell drugs and you can keep your freedom. And that, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm a gangster, you're not going to tell me what to do, I do what I want to do. And you end up in prison, and then you come to prison, and you let people that are worse off than you tell you what the things that you can't do. You can't eat with another race. You can't sit on another race's bed. You can't sit at a race's table. And those rules you follow because you don't want to get beat up. So everything's misguided. How messed up are you that you're not scared to lose your freedom, but you're scared to get beat up? That's like it's so ass backwards the way that people think. Coming to prison is not something that everybody should be proud of doing. It's a waste of time. I'm doing 14 years right now in prison. If I was on the street and I would have went to school, I could have got my doctorate degree in something and been living good. But instead, I'm sitting in prison for 14 years, wasting every day, not having anything to do, letting people telling me when I can shower, when I can eat, if I can come out of my room, what I have to wear. It's stupid. It was the biggest mistake in my life.
All right, son. Thank you so much for taking the time. Ha, no pun intended. I really appreciate that. I hope that even if we reached one person, it'll make a difference. And just to follow up with that, again, I'm not saying anything bad about any one person, but I think it's time that we start taking a harder look at our people going to prison. We need to take a look at their loyalty before they went in and what type of loyalty we really owe them. We're moms. You know, we're going to be there regardless, But we can't be forcing other family members or siblings to feel the same commitment with that we do, because it just doesn't work that way, because everybody has a different level of where they're at with that one person. And you know, just I just want to say, please don't put yourself in debt for any of it. You know, when our kids or our family members were doing the wrong thing, they knew that eventually they were going to get caught. They knew that this was coming. So they should have been prepared. You know, I tell my son all the time, you know, big drug dealers should have had, you know, tenían el banco ladeado de feria, right? So when this shit came down, they could defend themselves. They didn't need to depend on their families. But you know what? They didn't. And now they're dependent on the family to que le manden feria, que les compren secure packs, you know? And it's a huge burden. You don't have to deal with that, but we do have to start these conversations with each other and support each other. That's what I wanted to talk about this. I hope I made some sense. And, you know, to end today's show, we are still looking for our gente support. We're not getting the kind of support that we thought we were. Maybe we're just not reaching out to the right people. But again, I have to remind you, if this is not your type of gig, if you don't dig it, pass it on to somebody that might. You know, we really appreciate the support. Thank you again for listening. And querer es poder. Órale.